imagine, if you will, that you spent a lot of time, a lot of energy researching, thinking about, considering someone that you love, their needs, their wants, their desires, their passions. You really wanted to do your best to pick the perfect gift for that person. You spent all of your week, you got online. Anybody been to the malls yet? Okay, good. You're the ones at peace right now. But go online. It's either you can research online before you go shopping. But you spend all your time, your resources to buy the exact perfect gift because you love this person. Only to have you present them with that gift to have them kind of just set it to the side and just not even value it. Can you imagine the feeling you would have in your heart in that moment? Did you spend all of your time to give them the perfect gift, the perfect gift, and set it aside? I want you to know today that God gave us the perfect gift. Jesus Christ is the perfect gift. And God knows the gift that we needed in a Savior. But not only that, my focus today is that God knows exactly what we need, each one of us individually. He knows what gifts we need personally for His glory and for His benefit. That leads me into the story this morning, the last of my series on the stories Jesus told. And next week I will begin with our Christmas series. And I've got some powerful messages for you over the Christmas season. You do want to make sure you bring some friends to church over the next few weeks. Could be life-changing for them. Amen? Lord, I pray right now for this word. And thank you, the Holy Spirit, you're going to edit it as I go. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? I want you to know that God has the perfect gifts for you. And not only does He have the perfect gifts for you, He specifically can bring those gifts into maturity. God wants to use your gifts and His abilities through you for His glory and for His kingdom. That's the scripture that we have this morning. It's the parable of the talents. And let me read it for you. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them, and he made 5 other talents. And likewise, the one who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you've delivered me to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. Notice the joy of the Lord is attached to sacrifice and giving. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went to and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered him, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I've not sown and I gather where I've not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. That's an interesting phrase. Unprofitable servant. Because of the unprofitable servantness, he said he's cast out. The talent's taken away. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's just for fun, because I read this in another version late Saturday afternoon, I want Pastor James to read this out of the message, just the last portion of that, because it packs a punch. I think you're going to appreciate it.
The servant given 1,000 said, "Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent." The master was furious. "That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew that I was after the best, then why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would be to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least it would have gotten a little interest. Take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risks the most, and get rid of the play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into utter darkness."
Get rid of the play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Wow. Wow. I'm coming to challenge you this morning with the Word of God, and to encourage you this morning. We get it. I don't have to repeat the parable for time's sake. Guy got 5 talents, he invested, returned 5, 100% increase. Guy got 2 talents, invested 2, got 2 back. Guy that got 1, buried it because he was afraid. That's the recap of the story. But what this parable is saying, and it starts off with these words: the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus takes something that we can relate to. He says the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's just like this. In other words, God wants to grow his business. And his business is the kingdom of heaven. And God expects those in whom he's entrusted their time, talent, treasure, and I like to add testimony to it. You've all got a testimony. It's probably the most important tool you have in your toolbox that God's given you, your story. God is expecting us to invest that into the kingdom of God. We are expected to use the talents that God's given us for his glory. And the scripture goes on to say that he's going to call each one of us into account for how we did or did not utilize our gifts, our talents, and our abilities. And so I want to dig deep into this for a few moments. And you do have notes, and I encourage you to take notes. It helps you remember some of these things. But I want to acknowledge some things about using our gifts. The first thing that acknowledges our gifts are not the same. We're all gifted in different ways. We might have similar gifts. I've been playing with James, but James plays guitar, I play guitar. I'm just better. I'm just playing. Similar gifts, right? We may have similar gifts, but we're not all gifted the same. God knows exactly who you are and how he made you, and he's gifted you. In fact, James says it this way: every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, coming down from the Father of lights. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139 that he formed you in your mother's womb. He knew you before you existed. And not only did he know you that far back, he knows what's best for you. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. God has uniquely gifted every single one of you. And because of that, he knows the talents we have, and he gives them to us. And he exactly matches us, matches us up with the opportunities. God will open doors in the areas of your talents. I guarantee you. You hang out with the Lord, he's going to open doors for your talents. The wonderful thing to acknowledge today is that for us is to be thankful, because God believes in you so much that he's entrusted you as the ruler, entrusted his servants. God loves you that much. He entrusts you. Now, there's a few things about the gifts, the reality that they're different, that we ought to know. And first of all is that don't be envious of other people's gifts. Don't be envious of their gifts. Understand, we shouldn't be envious of others who've been given more or less or different talents than us, because it's God who distributed the gifts to begin with. There's sometimes we might have the mindset, well, if I had more time. How many of you have ever said, "I wish I had more time"? You're never going to get more time. There's no such thing. Time, you move the clocks back, you still get the same 24 hours. It's not going to add 25 hours. It's just not going to happen. You're going to have to steward your time better. You've been given time, steward it better. I wish I had more time, steward it. How many of you want more money? Well, you've probably got more than you need. It's a matter of how are you stewarding it. That's between you and the Lord, obviously. You've already been given what you need. The question becomes then, am I being faithful with what I've been given? And it's human nature to underestimate our talents and overestimate the talents in somebody else and wonder why it is that I don't have what they have. Well, there might be a few reasons why you don't have what they have. One of them is you might not be willing to acknowledge the fact that they had to work very hard to get where they're at. They might have had, I read a really good book on my little vacation away from a local author sitting on the second row. But there were some good thoughts in there that really helped me prepare for this message. It's human nature to underestimate our gifts and to compare our gifts to other people's gifts. Listen to this. Comparison is the thief of joy. A great story about that. I love to share this. But, you go to Christmas time, especially, you have expectations. I was in third grade boy. Okay. I wasn't a girl. I was a boy. Third grade boy. And we went to Christmas in Odessa, Texas at my Nana's house. We called her Nana. Anybody else have a Nana? Good for you. We went to Nana's house. We get to Nana's house. Now listen, mom, dad, four kids, and a Samoyed dog in a Datsun 510 station wagon. I ain't even playing. I got pictures. Car top on the top. Everything in the car top. We drove all the way to Odessa, Texas. We get there at Christmas, yada, yada, yada. We go to open up presents. I get the presents from my grandmother. And my brother's over there playing with some toy that he got. He's 6 years older than I am and a jerk. I mean, not anymore, but he was then. And I open my present, and to my amazement, the present I got from my Nana was a stuffed horsey pillow. Third grade boy, you get a stuffed horsey pillow. Not even like one that you bought at a store. It was one she made. It was like you sew the two sides together. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever done one of these? And you flip it inside out and then you shove all kinds of junk in it, cotton or whatever it did. I don't know. But it was a horse. It was a pillow shaped like a horse. And I'm like, and I look over at my brother in this moment of comparing gifts. And my brother has this look on his face like, snide little look on his face. I just wanted to slap him. So fast forward, we get ready to leave to come back to San Diego from Odessa, Texas. We're loading up the car and everybody's got their toys and stuff. And my dad says, you can have one toy in the car, which was like crazy because we didn't have any room at all. Well, you can have one toy. Guess what toy I picked out? Horsey pillow. And on their way home, put my head on the horsey pillow and I slept. Looked over at my brother. I had a snide look on my face. And he slapped me. Here's my point. Grandma, Nana, knew exactly what I needed. I underestimated the gift. And then my brother overestimated his gift. And yeah, lay your head on those Legos. That's fun. We shouldn't be envious of other people's gifts. Don't compare your gifts. Know this, your life is unique and it's special. The gifts that God's given them is unique and special. And each one of those comes with their own set of blessings and challenges. Let me say that again. Each one of them comes with their own blessings and challenges. Well, I wonder why I don't have, because you haven't been willing to deal with the challenges that somebody else might have had. Potentially. I'm not judging, I'm just saying. We just don't know what they've gone through to get to where they're at. Don't compare your gifts. God wants us to prove ourselves faithful with what He's given us and before He considers giving you any more responsibility. It's pretty simple. If we've been given a lot, more is required. You just can't get around that. You've been given a lot, more is required. Just give more. Don't look around at other people and wonder why they're not giving as much as you are and comparing your giftings and your investments. Well, they're not pulling the same weight as I am. You've been given more, so you can do more. You just can do more. Do we not get that, church? We just can. God's given me the ability to do more. So I should do more. And for what it's worth, don't let your gifts determine your value. Your value is not in what you do, it's in whose you are. That's where your value is. Don't let your gifts determine your value. God gives you gifts because He loves you and He values you. That's why He gives you your gifts. So the question does become, am I using my time, my talent, my treasure, my testimony? Am I using it to the best of my ability right now? And I'm saying this morning, unashamedly, as the pastor, as the father of this house in that sense of the word, and I think you understand my heart today. I've never probably given a more poignant message as far as what I believe for 2019 coming forward, but I'm calling on us to take it to the next level by every one of us investing our time, our talent, our treasure, and our testimony in a way that brings the kingdom of God and the glory of God into this city in a way that we've not seen it to this point. I've been here 16 years, and I'm just saying it's about time that we go to the next level. Using our gifts and our abilities. And I can't answer whether you're using your gifts and abilities to your full potential, and you can't answer it for me. It's a personal question, and you personally need to answer it, but you don't need to answer it to me. You answer it to the Father. It's a personal question for us to all of us take our own temperature. All of the gifts are different. The second thing about using our gifts is it's not optional. Harsh. Okay, but it is. It's not optional. Newsflash, Christians. If we want to live in His kingdom, then we must use the resources and ability that He's blessed us with to increase the kingdom. No investment, no return. We have to utilize what we've been given. The servants weren't really given an option. Well, you know, here you go. Do if you feel like it. I don't feel like it a lot. I don't feel like serving a lot of times. I don't feel like giving. It's not optional, though. The reality of it is this parable is teaching us that if we want to live in God's kingdom, we need to recognize that God is always on the throne. Always on the throne. He must be on the throne of our hearts, regardless of whether or not we're the paper boy or we own the newspaper. It doesn't matter what's that. God is on the throne. And He wants to use us. Using the money example, because it's easy, because it's right there in the Bible. Whether you make $100 a week or $10,000 a week, 10% of it belongs to the Father. 10% belongs to God. Well, I don't know if I can afford to give. You can't afford not to give, because there's a blessing on the gift, there's a blessing on the tithe, and there's a curse when you don't. We wonder why ends don't meet. That's an easy one. I don't even want to. I feel like I can preach that message every week if I wanted to. That's an easy one because it's right there in the scriptures. But a lot of times we'll go, well, I'm giving financially, so I don't have to volunteer. No, I'm sorry. Giving financially does not absolve you from using your gifts and talents. They're gifts and talents given to you by God. Are you hearing me, church? Speaking as the pastor, the Father, time, talent, treasure, testimony. Well, I share my testimony everywhere, so I shouldn't have to give in the offering. I shouldn't have to volunteer. No, that's not the scriptures. You've been entrusted with all these things. It's not optional. It's not optional. Look at these biblical statements that are not optional. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. He says, faith without works is dead. Faith without doing something is dead. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing James? And then he says this, and this is where I feel like I'm on incredibly firm biblical ground today in challenging us as a church to take it to the next level. Paul says to Timothy, command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and be generous and willing to share. I'm doing what the scriptures tell me to do today, and I am commanding you in the nicest way possible to do good. To be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. He's teaching him and he's commanding and tells him to command them. In other words, it's just not optional. We need to see what we have that God's given us and we need to use it to expand the kingdom of God. Look at 1 Peter. It says, just as each one of you have received a special gift, a spiritual talent, an ability graciously given by God, employ it in serving one another as it's appropriate for good stewards of God's multifaceted grace, faithfully using the diverse, varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favor. I love that New King James Version talks about it. It's the manifold giftings, the manifold graces, manifold, many folds, many colors. You and I together, we're a kaleidoscope of giftings, all to give glory to God the Father. We are knit together to bring glory and praise to God. We are knit together. We have all of us been designed and assigned, and the glory comes when we align with God. We line up, we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And for whatever reason, and I was going to tell my wife this yesterday, the day before, but the old song, I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your, how many know this? I'll say, sing it with me, Lord, yes, and I will trust you and obey. You remember the song? No? We could do, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yeah, now you know that one. Let me just practice something real quick, real quick. On the count of three, I want you to give God a loud yes. One, two, three.
Yes!
Okay, this, you guys were louder than this group over here. One, two, three.
Yes!
All right, yeah, we can say it. You know how to say it now. I know this. Hallelujah. We say yes because it's this. We're, if you haven't heard it yet this morning, I want to say it one more time. You are gifted. You are talented. Every single one of you, designed specifically by God. Your gifts are good and they're perfect and they're given to you by God. And they're given to you to, as a design to fulfill God's plans, not just in your life, but in our lives. Whatever you have, bring it to the table. We need you. God's kingdom needs you. Invest in your gifts. Thirdly, it's not always obvious, not always convenient, not always easy. If I notice from the story, what's the reluctancy of the one that was given the one? He was afraid. I'm afraid. If we're being honest, anytime we've ever been challenged, and some of you even today might even have the same feeling. If we're being honest, there's times where we're challenged to give a little more or do something, and for whatever reason, fear might enter in. Well, if I give this, what, man, my tires are close. What if I have a blowout this week? I'm going to need this. We need to give and trust God. Or time. Well, if I step up in that area, what if I fail in that area? What if I step up to be a leader in this area or a teacher in this area? What if I fail? You fail if you don't try. And we lose out. We lose out. The gifts are not always obvious. And what am I saying by that is just simply it's going to take faith to invest your time. It's going to take faith to invest your ability. It's going to take faith to invest your treasure. Understand that. We need to do what God is calling us to do. And the writer of Hebrews tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he goes on to say this, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. We've got to believe, that is, have faith that God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder. Everybody say rewarder. When we invest, God rewards. You don't walk up to a field and go, I'm waiting for the harvest. Hurry up. Where's mine, God? It's in your pocket. You haven't invested it. Plant seed, get harvest. Don't plant seed, no return. Are you hearing me? It's just a simple principle, but we got to get our minds around it. If we're going to take it to the next level in our lives personally, but as a church. If we're going to go to the next level, this has to come to being. I really, 16 years I've been investing my life into this church. Best years of my life. I think I'm going to get, actually the best years are ahead of me. I almost said something I didn't want to say. But I'm not going to get, I'm believing God for more energy going forward. I'm believing God for more ability and anointing on my life, a double portion of my life. But I've invested 16 years, and I'm telling you right now, I feel like we're at this crossroads in our church's life where we either, you know, there's a saying that my dad used to say, we just need to make some decisions. Y'all were raised by my dad, I guess. This is the scriptures. If you want to argue with me about it, argue with God. These are the scriptures. Our faith needs to get right down in the deep inside of our hearts that we have talents and gifts that need to be used by God for the glory of the kingdom. But it's faith based on the fact that God's a good God and he knows what you need and he knows what we need and God's gifted each one of us to diligently serve him. It's been. What if I told you this morning, because we come to these moments, and I think human nature, well, I don't have much more time. Just kind of change it. What I barely have enough money to make ends meet. Our budget's so tight. What if I told you that success in the kingdom of God is so often more about sacrifice and service than it is about blessing? And that the one has to come before the other? Well, when I get blessed, I'll start. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. You get blessed when you invest. Yeah. Tweet that. It's the truth. And the act of becoming a servant will take you in your Christian walk, and this is what I'm really believing. Yes, I want the church to explode and expand and grow and be more effective, not less effective in this community. Yes, I want that, but I want it for you personally. That's what I'm appealing to, your personal. If you want to be selfish, be selfish, because I'm telling you, this is how you get more of God's favor in your life. By finding a place to serve, it takes you from being the pew sitter to the chair straightener. You know how I am about the chairs. Y'all's arms aren't broken, right? And you have eyes too, right? So you come in and see them, like, you could straighten them up too, right? You have that ability. Well, I'm just not gifted in that area. Right? We can all do something. I'm having fun with this, but right? You can't all be one person, leaning on one person to do it. I'm not trying to be harsh. I really am not trying to be harsh. It just takes faith to utilize what we've been gifted. I just want you to know you can do it. You can do it because God's gifted you to do it. But what are the ramifications of not using your gifts? Well, the first ramification is it's in the scriptures. You're just not rewarded. You're just not rewarded. You didn't invest anything. There was no reward that came from it. The reward comes when we invest it. God gives wisdom to people who have wisdom. God gives blessings to people who are generous with their time, their talent, their treasure. The parable teaches us very clear that we, each one of us, been given. If we've been given more, we're asked to give more. And if we don't use what we've been given, if we don't use what we've been given, it will be given to someone else. And I've watched that play out. I've watched that play out in church life. I'm as sure as I'm standing here, I can specifically tell you of a specific instance. Many years ago, a young lady who could sing like no other. Unbelievable singer. I begged her, please, we need you on the worship team. I begged her, begged her, begged her. Once or twice, reluctantly jumped in. I just watched this talent go, well, forget the word unused, wasted. And I watched God just, to this day, I don't believe she's singing in church anywhere. Unbelievable giftings. I'm like, wow. And I don't know what it is about me. Maybe I'm just weird. But I'm like, when I got saved, to whom much has been given, much is required. I got saved. I'm like, yes, Lord. What do you want me to do? Not because he'll love me more. He already loves me. But I'm just like, it's what can I do to please the Father? God, is there any way? And I just had this, I don't really have a no. I just don't. I'm learning to try and have no. I'm learning to try and say no to people. I just say, yeah, sure. I just, because of me kind of being willing, God's moved me into places. I never thought he would move me into those places. We're not rewarded when we don't invest our gifts. He says, in one version, speaking to this in Luke's gospel, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you've been trustworthy in very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. Wow, that's amazing. You've been faithful over little, I'll make you faithful over much. Each one of us just simply needs to take inventory. What has God blessed me with? How much time do I have? What financial resources has God blessed me with? What are my abilities? And the last question, which is really easy, am I being faithful with what God's given me? Am I being faithful with the gifts? The second thing to realize is that, you know, we're not rewarded when we don't use the gifts. The other thing is we're not acknowledged. We're not acknowledged. Now, to be truthful, all three were acknowledged. But you tell me which one you want. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You wicked, lazy servant. Which acknowledgement do you want? And it's not about love. It's about, are you doing anything with the investment that God's made in you? Jesus acknowledged this with a well done, my good and faithful servant. Just like he did when the woman came with the alabaster jar of a very expensive oil. And she broke it at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, wow. I bless her for her extravagant gift. And all the Pharisees are standing there going, she could have done something with that, sold it and fed the poor. And Jesus is like, no, I love her extravagant giving. And Jesus says the same thing to you. I love it when you do something extravagant, something over the top. You know, the way to receive favor in God's eyes and the way we receive favor is to do more than what's expected without being asked. And we wonder, well, how can I do that? Well, little things happen. My wife calls me yesterday. She leaves to go to Albertsons. I'm still in my PJs sitting on the couch watching college football or something, and my phone rings, and she had just left the house, so like she hadn't even gotten far. I picked up the phone, and she's like, "What's going on at the church?" I'm being dramatic, but it was close to that. She's like, "No, I didn't say it like that. What's going on at the church?" I'm like, "I don't know, what the heck." I'm not clairvoyant. I didn't like wake up with a sense of something going on in the church. And I said, "I don't know. Well, there's trucks out there and people running around." Okay. I know I'm being dramatic, but it was kind of like that. That's how I felt. Well, I hadn't had coffee yet, so that's what it sounded like to me. Sounded just like that. What's going on? So I hung up. I don't know. Click, whatever. She's going on it. I didn't hang up on her. I did, I think, actually. So I did what any good pastor would do. I thank God James installed security cameras. So I got on my phone and I logged in and I looked at the security cameras and I pulled it up. And first camera was the camera of the patio. And there's Tom Green out there hosing off the patio. I'm like, what's Tom Green hosing the patio off for? That's weird. But okay, good on Tom. He's hosing off the patio. I didn't even ask him to do that. I wonder why he's doing that. Are you hearing me? I flip on the next camera. It's this camera right over here. And there's a trailer there. And there's Gabriel. He's loading up brush and stuff that they've been trimming all morning long. Again, I didn't ask them to do this. They didn't tell me they were doing it either. That's why she called. What's going on? And then I log into this camera. And there's Gene Lavigne's truck. And I see Gene walking towards the dumpster with some stuff, some trash. And I'm like, wow, Gabriel, Gene, and Tom. Thank you. I had to go backwards. Gabriel, Gene, and Tom here just doing something, just offering their gifts to the Lord. Like, it's something. And last night they couldn't see it, but man, when you leave today, it's beautiful. They did some amazing work out here on this front area, and they trimmed a bunch of that. The property looks better than it's looked in 10 years just from what they did yesterday. And I just want to say, because they're not even here, but thank you guys. I thanked them in the first service. That's what I'm talking about. I'm acknowledging it. Well done. Good and faithful servants. You did something nobody even expected. Worship team, I want you to come. Paul says to the church in Rome, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Look at, which is your spiritual act of worship. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That's your spiritual act of worship. Hallelujah. That's worship and a form of worship. But your spiritual act of worship is offering your body as living sacrifices, saying to the Father, yes, Lord, I whatever you want, God, that's what I want. There's no getting around it. The blessings come from putting God first and investing in the kingdom of God. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 10. Mark my words. No one who sacrifices house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message will lose out. They will get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mother, children, and land, but also in troubles. And then the bonus of eternal life. This is once again the great reversal. Many who are first will end up last, and the last will be first. Let me say this. Don't underestimate the gift that God's put in your life. Remember how he created you? He started with dust. God can create you out of dust. He can certainly take what you think is discounted. I don't know what I've got. Don't discount your gifts. Don't discount your gifts. Many years ago, speaking about this subject in my life, my small group on a Wednesday night, one of the ladies, I was talking about gifts, and she's like, I don't have any gifts. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know where I can be used. And I said, listen, I know this. You hang out with God long enough, he'll open the door up for your gifts. That night, she walks out in the foyer. Pastor Michelle runs up to her. Hey, would you do me a favor? VBS is next week. Could you bake cookies for the Vacation Bible School? She lit up. I love to bake cookies. Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner. Well, what did cookies? Is that really? Oh, I'll tell you what. It was important to Michelle to have cookies. And lives were changed that week, not because of a chocolate chip cookie, but there was ministry going on to kids, and that was a portion of it. Are you hearing me? Don't discount your gifts. Don't underestimate them. Why? Because unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think, he is able to do amazing things with what you think is a little gift. exceedingly abundantly. Remember how I began this morning? Imagine if someone spent all his resources to give you the perfect gift. I know God's given you the perfect gift. And when God picked out Jesus for the gift for you, it involved an incredible thing. It involved Jesus, who came to earth as fully God, fully man. When he came to the place where he could have cut and ran, you know, I don't feel like the cross today. I'm just not feeling it. Just not feeling it. God, I'm not feeling it. When it came that moment, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. May that be the declaration in your hearts. Not my will, but thy will be done.